Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is John chapter 4:19-24. John 4:19-24. Its title is the part two, worship that pleases God. Worship that pleases God. I'd like to read John 4:19-24. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in these mountains, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." This is the word of God. Hallelujah. Last time we heard the Lord said that he seeks those who will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Though the Old Testament clearly taught that the sacrifice must be offered with all one's heart and mind, with a sincere heart, they neither believed nor obeyed God's word. The peoples mistakenly believed that merely offering sacrifice meant God would forgive and accept them. So they repeatedly offered vain sacrifice and committed evil deeds. To such Israelites today, the Lord clearly revealed the heart of the Father's God. Why does the Father seek those who worship in spirit and in truth? It is because he wants receive the worship in spirit and in truth from us humans. In God's Garden Eden, the third heavens, there was a church that worshipped in spirit and in truth. There existed a true spiritual church where God's spirit and the human spirit communed with each other. It was Adam and Eve, created in God's image and likeness, who worshipped in spirit. However, through Adam's disobedience and sin, this church was broken. God lost the church that offered spiritual worship. To be precise, he lost those who worship in spirit and in truth. Man, created in God's image and likeness, lost God's spirit and became like a beast destined for destruction. Having lost the truth, they became offspring of the devil, the fathers of lies. The entire Bible is about God seeking those who were lost. So the Lord also clearly stated the purpose of his coming to this earth, according to the Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." God's desire is to find that lost one, restore him, and receive glory from him. So God, in order to receive true worship, sent Jesus to us, and by believing only in Jesus, the blood of the cross is sprinkled upon our hearts so that we may be cleansed. Through the Spirit of Jesus, we become children of God and are established before the Father as those qualified to offer true worship in righteousness, truth, and holiness. Last time, we clearly established that God is the one who received our worship. Yet in today's passage, the Lord referred to that God as Father. He's making it clear that the position of the one who worships the Father must be that of a son. We must also remember that in the Old Testament, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he made them not merely his people, but his son. Let's look at the Exodus chapter 4, 22 to 23, just I like to read verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Amen. The only way we become the God's son is through faith in Jesus Christ. You can find that at the Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And also you can find at the John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Amen. Receiving the spirit of sonship from Jesus, we are enabled to call God our Father. You can find at the Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and the Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I read the Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. But it does not end with the position of sonship. Becoming one with God through worship is what the Father desires. The Father himself is our destination. Let's look at the John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the Lord said to this in the Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He clearly stated that we must become perfect people, resembling the Father's character and attaining his perfections. Only by going to the Father can we experience the glory Jesus shared with the Father before the foundation of the world, and we too will receive that glory. Jesus Christ is a prayer for us to Father at the John chapter 17, verse 5 and verse 22. This is very important verse. I like to read both verses. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, and they may be one into just as we are one. Amen. When the Lord returns, we who are one with the Father's will also receive glory, praise, and honor. According to the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, I like to read, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the second coming, right? Therefore, even though we live on this earth, we must no longer live as earthly beings, but as heavenly beings, as children of God and children of Spirit. With our own strength, we cannot fully accomplish an inner spiritual life. Only by thoroughly following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who dwells within our heart, can we go beyond the external and the fleshly acts of the law. By attaining holiness within the standard of an inner spiritual life of the heart, we are able to fulfill the righteousness of the Lord who has completed the law. The Lord specifically outlines the models for the life on earth in Matthew chapter 5. I like to read for you. In the Old Testament law, the commandment against murder applied only if one actually killed. But the word teaches us that even being angry with or hating a brother is also considered murder. The Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. Furthermore, if you are about to offer a sacrifice to God but have done something that caused your brother to have a grievance against you, you must first reconcile with your brother and then present your offering. And if someone is taking you to court, you are told to quickly settle matters with them on the way. He instructs that if you borrow money from a brother, you must repay him in full down to the last penny. While the Old Testament recognized adultery as a physical act, he declares that even harboring lustful thought of constitutes adultery. He even said that if you are right eye or right hand cause you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. He defined as adultery not only fornication, but also divorcing a wife for any reason or other than the fornication or marrying a divorced woman. He forbade taking false oaths, warning against swearing by heaven, earth, or any part of the body. He commanded us to speak only yes or no, declaring that anything is beyond this stand from evils. Whereas the Lord says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth, he commands not to retaliate, not to resist evil, but rather, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone sues you and demands something from you, give them more than they ask for. He also said that if anyone asks you for something out of need, do not refuse them. The Old Testament is a command to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but the Lord commands us to love even our enemies and pray for them. He said that when we love not only those who love us or our brothers, but love everyone, we become perfect like our Father. Like Moses, we must possess the gentleness, the humble, to love and embrace the Israelite to fulfill the Father's will. We must follow the path of love and the action of Jesus, who willingly gave his life for those who would kill him. The only way to the Father is through worship in spirit and truth. That is why the Apostle Paul emphasized worship in spirit to the New Testament church and that they received Jesus. He instructed them to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that is to be led by the Spirit and to sing praise. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. He commanded them to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And also he commanded us to serve by the Spirit. In the Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. And also, either the Holy Spirit testified to the gospel of Jesus. You can find that in John chapter 15, verse 26. And also, the Holy Spirit bring about the fellowship, confirming that we are one in spirit. Amen. I'd like to read the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. However, without the Holy Spirit guidance, the prayer cannot align with God's will. Praise without the Spirit leading becomes merely a song that stirs up one's own emotions. So without the spirit guidance, become as an act done reluctantly, conscious of others' eyes. And proclaim the gospel without the spirit guidance, not only fail to transform others, but also become nothing more than boasting about one's own knowledge and learning. Without the communion accompanied by the Holy Spirit, fellowship among believers and at mere greetings. When leaving church, they go their separate way. They can hardly be called believers who have received one spirit. How much are we truly worshiping in the spirit? Prayer, praise, service, fellowship, and preaching the word, this must be accomplished by the spirit among us to be recognized as a spiritual worship offered in the spirit. Such individuals truly build a true temple within their heart. You can find that the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, scripture says, "Do you not know that you are temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" God's Spirit must dwell among us so that the falsehood cannot take hold of our heart. For the Holy Spirit is true itself. Our old self, belonging to the flesh, must die with Jesus on the cross. That is why the Lord told Nicodemus, who longed for the kingdom of God, that the way to come to Father is to be born again of water and spirit. We must put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. Look at the law, chapter 8, verse 13. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Amen. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. When our body, mind, and spirit become one to worship God, that is a spiritual worship and a holy living sacrifice. This is where we must focus our worship. Through worship, we must meet God, our Father. Amen. When the Lord was 12 years old, he went to Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate the Passover. After offering sacrifice in Jerusalem, they hurried back to their hometown. The next day, they realized that Jesus was missing. They assumed he was among the group, but when they asked the relatives and acquaintances, no one had seen him. Alarmed, they turned back and searched for him. After 3 days, they returned to Jerusalem and found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. They were amazed at his understanding and the answers he gave. When they saw him, his parents said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Look how worried we've been searching for you." But his answer was, let's look at the Luke chapter 2, 49 to 50. I like to read. "And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?'" Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? What a magnificent answer. Throughout the entire Bible, the Jesus alone is referred to the temple or the church as my Father's house. The Lord declared that his rightful place was in the Father's house, and that this Father's house is our church. Clearly, the Lord came as the only begotten Son of God the Father. While this certainly reveals the laws of divinity. He also teaches that our position as those who have become sons of God the Father through faith in Him must likewise to in the Father's house, the church. Amen. Worship is the Son meeting the Father in the Father's house in spirit and in truth. The Lord Himself shows us that the becoming one with God the Father is worship. How much do we truly regard this church as my Father's house? Do we attend out of obligation, habit, or merely formally like the Old Testament Israelite we so rightly criticized? Do we say we won't come to church if it doesn't suit our mood? Some even think leaving the church is an act of personal reserve. Here, the praise did you not know use the Greek word day, which signifies absolute necessity, priority, and what is right and fitting. It means staying in the Father's house and meeting the Father to become one as His sons is what we must do. We too must focus on worshiping at Lawful Church, the Father's house. It must be highest priority in our entire lives. This church was purchased by the blood of Jesus, the Father's only Son who was given up for it. Here, God the Father rejoiced and eagerly awaited meeting us, His sons and daughters who believed in Jesus. Are you meeting the Father through worship today? Are you focusing on worship, giving it top priority, and offering your whole heart, soul, and strength? If you have not done so and have not met Him, then we too will inevitably hear the voice of God the Father saying, "We have turned His house into a den of sin through our vain worship. We must give our whole heart, soul, and strength." I'd like to read one more time in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul." To those who seek Him wholeheartedly, to those who hope the Lord who come again meets them as a Father. Amen. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many," that is the first coming, "shall appear a second time," this is the second coming, "for salvation without the reference to sin, to those who eagerly await Him." Eagerly await Him. That meaning is what they waiting for their heart and all their heart and all their soul. Today's passage is declared that now is the time. Therefore, we must seek Him. In the scripture, a lot of scripture said, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." In the Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 said, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Amen. Through today's passage, God the Father is exhorting us. He also tells us to prepare for the last days. Let's look at the Amos chapter 4, verse 12. "Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I shall do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. We must meet the Father to live. Now is the time, by focusing on worship, becoming sons in spirit and truth, and offering worship that delight that Father's heart, we, as the last Adam, must return the glory he so desired from Adam in Eden. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you for revealing to us in two stages that what worship truly delights the fathers. By believing in Jesus Christ, we have become children of the Father, and we now clearly understand that the path we must take is to become people of the Spirit, following the way the Lord works in accordance with the word, faith, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We realize that the only way to work this path is to live according to the word and intercession the Holy Spirit gives us. We understand that it is our responsibility to daily discipline our own outward man, which disobeyed God's command, using the word we receive each day to bring it into submission. We desire to be made perfect just as our Father is perfect. Have mercy on us and help us, not by my strength, but by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, the grace of Jesus, and the love of the Father. May all the saints of our love for church become those who pray constantly, always alert, so that we may advance toward perfections. We believe this is the worship that pleases the Father. May we seek the Father wholeheartedly day by day, seeking him again and again until we finally meet him, so that his perfection may be accomplished among us. May we become those who fulfilled our role as right as the salt on this earth as his sons. We pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all these things. Amen.